It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey!
What's up, baby?
Welcome to Loving the Strange, husband.
Hey, husband.
Husband?
I was hoping there might be somebody else here besides just us.
Well, there are allegedly some people watching, but who knows if that is a lie or the truth. But,
oh, really?
Yeah, but tonight's a cool podcast. But before we start it, I want to give a shout out to Stewie, who gave us like this amazing music for our intro and outro.
Yeah.
Because he's amazing. You should check
him out. Stewie!
And we're going to put a link into our podcast notes for him.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I also want to give a shout out to Dee, because honest to God, we do the podcast for Dee.
She is our most steadfast listener, I'll say.
Yeah, and then our secondary steadfast listener is Doug, who posted adorable grandbaby photos today on Facebook.
Yeah?
Yeah. So we basically do this for Dee and Doug. The whole podcast. And in your screen, Sean, before we start talking about dark tourism, I just saw a dog twitching.
Oh, he was having a scratching attack. That's why I twisted my head.
Somewhere. Yeah, that was amazing. So, hi. Hi, Dee. Hi, Doug. Hi, everyone who's listening.
Hey.
We're going to talk about dark tourism today. And to be truthful, it's not something Shawnee and I know a ton about. So, we're going to learn about it. And hopefully, you'll learn about it with us. And you'll share your stories about the weird, dark things that you may have come up across while traveling.
Maybe they did it on purpose.
Maybe did it on purpose.
Maybe some of them like to be dark tourists.
Yeah. Hey, and Coop's here. Coop, I haven't seen you in forever. Hey. So we're going to kind of put a disclaimer out ahead of this podcast to let you know that we are not experts on dark tourism. And like, we kind of had to look up like that. Definition. Bud, why are you laughing? I just stopped. Like what is that?
I was laughing.
You were laughing. What? I said the word definition and you started laughing.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Do you want to define dark tourism?
No.
Okay.
I'll throw some bits in.
All right. So according to thetravel.com, dark tourism is basically also called grief tourism or thanatourism, and it was the term itself was created in 1996 by some professors from Glasgow, and those professors' names were J. John Lennon and Malcolm Foley, and they basically said that dark tourism is when you go specifically to visit a place that you're not from, and that place is associated with destruction or death or tragedy. And within that, those categories are like genocide and natural disaster and slavery and war and suffering and violence. So basically the entire world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it in a big way.
These are more specific places.
I feel like there are places known for that, but there's a million trillion places not known for that, but are that. Oh, we've already lost viewers.
Because we have.
Because it's a negative podcast. Like, how can you make dark tourism happy?
Can you tell how many people are watching?
Yes, I can.
Oh, my God. And we've lost some?
Yes, we've lost two already.
Dang.
Yeah, man. It's because it's a dark topic.
Well, yeah, it is.
Make it light. So that's my best definition, I think, of dark tourism.
I think that was a pretty good one.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Like, I know that when Emmy and I, my daughter Emmy, were in Czechoslovakia, like, we went to a museum that was We went to a few museums, and one of them was a torture museum, which seems pretty dark. And I didn't want to go, but Emmy was all in. And then we went to another place where, like, these people were basically martyred, or considered martyred for being shot in World War II, who were, they were rebels, you know, and it was a place of, like, death, because that's where they died, but it was also a place of memory, because what they did was so brave and strong and true, right? Susie says, like, Pompeii, and Dee has not left us, which I'm gonna say is a big deal. Yeah, but Pompeii is like this perfect example, you know, it's like this place where all of these people died pretty instantly, most of them, and tragically, when a volcano went off. And now it's like this big place everybody wants to go see in a tourist way, right? So that is a very mainstream dark tourist place, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was saying to you before. Like, it's kind of like how you look at it.
Okay, tell me more.
Well, I mean, you can look at it as, oh, it's this place where all these people died in, like, a negative way.
Right.
Or you can look at it as a more of a spiritual way. It's like this place where all these people died. And, well, in the case of Pompeii, suffered probably for a short amount of time, very short amount, right? But, and think about that loss and suffering rather than just the death.
Yeah.
I don't know the term. I'm saying negative way, but I don't, that's not quite what I mean.
Fiona says she's with you. And I think that's a really cool way to think about it. Like, and there's also this other aspect. Like, I don't feel like we should definitely define people by their death. Do you know what I mean? Like,
definitely not.
You know, like, hey, like, she died this way, or he died that way, or they died this way. But that death, why would that be the way that you define who they are and their whole being lives and their actions and their choices and their passions and their purpose? You know, like,
yeah, I agree.
But I feel like in our culture, we often do that, you know, like, it's often like what everybody wants to read in the first line of the obituary. How did Carrie die? Oh, she died of a heart attack. Oh, she had a stroke. Oh, she got hit by a car. Oh, she got trampled by manatees. Like, there's always like, do you know what I mean? But that really shouldn't be like what we want to know the most about someone, right, or even an area. But there's also that beautiful wondering of what is beyond someone's just regular mortal existence. You know, like Susie asks, like, doesn't MDI have a ghost walk? And yes, yes, we have two. We have the lady with the blue light, or the red cloak, and then the people with the blue light. There's two.
I don't know if you're asking me.
How do you not know that, babe?
You would know more about it than I would.
You went on a ghost walk with me.
Yes, I went with you, and you also followed one around.
Yeah, I was thinking about becoming a tour for a ghost walk a tour guide. But I realized that I have a really hard time seeing in the dark. And I would twist my ankle a lot. And I wasn't, I don't want to get sued by saying this, but I'm just going to be honest. Like, I wasn't super cool with the script. Like, yeah. I kept, because I have a journalism background, I kept finding factual errors with what I was supposed to be saying.
Well, it's the same with the one we paid to go on.
Yes, but the first one, I was potentially going to be a guide for, I wasn't cool with, because I couldn't lie. And it would have required me to say things that I didn't think were true. And then B, you were a subcontractor and they didn't cover you with their insurance. So I wasn't cool with that.
You wouldn't pay for all your twisted ankles.
No, because I would have twisted my ankle pretty much every curb. But then the other one that we went on as humans, like just like as we were pretending to be tourists, I had an issue with that one because I kept finding factual errors in their ghost stories. And I'm like the worst person to have on a ghost tour. But the point is, that's a good example of dark tourism, right? Why are you just laughing?
I don't know.
We can't have a podcast if you don't talk to bands.
You've been enthusiastically training me not to interrupt lately.
I have.
I was not going to interrupt. I'm tired of getting spanked and yelled at.
I don't spank. You wish I spanked you, but I don't spank you. Fiona says, I think the fascination with Pompeii is partly to do with here's this ancient Roman city that in part was preserved by the forces that destroyed it. And that's such a good point. Like it is, Fiona says it's a paradox, and it is. Like it's amazing to think about it. Like what destroys you preserves you, and what destroyed them made people now mourn and think and try to live via their stories. And that's really intriguing, actually. And it's kind of like, I feel like that element underpins a lot of dark tourism, actually. But maybe not.
So the lesson learned here is if you don't leave a big enough mark upon the world that people will continue to talk about you after your death, go get buried alive by a
volcano. Or manatees. D said,
if you get trampled alive by manatees, people are going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's guaranteed.
Yeah. But D said, Carrie, I feel like you would die with a smile on your face if you were trampled by manatees. And I think you're right. I'd be like,
most definitely.
I'd try to hug them the entire time they were killing me, I think. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Manatees are the best, man. You know it.
They're pretty cool.
Sean always has like this dream that we would just move to Florida in a place where there's manatees so that my whole life, every day, is basically me going out to a, like Crystal River. Is that the place?
Yeah. I get so much loving if you have to do that every day. Oh my God.
That's so inappropriate.
I use kind words.
You said loving?
Yeah. Loving. That's right.
So Brittany says, my favorite author's live. Oh, that's a lot of pressure. Brittany.
Live,
because I haven't yet been trampled by manatees. And Fiona says, it's weird because I don't think of ghosts as dark. And
didn't
I think
neither.
Yeah.
Neither is scary.
I don't honestly think I do.
No.
Like, what is dark, honestly? Sean, go.
Dark is what most people don't want to think about.
Brittany says, bahaha. And Brittany also says, the only dark tourism is I know is from Charleston. And since Charleston is my favorite city, I'd really like to know more about that. Also, she said, absolutely no pressure, which I appreciate. So dark tourism is grief. Dark tourism is the macabre. Dark tourism is something horrifying about the human condition, I guess. But
a lot of times it is.
Yeah, but also I think there's like Fiona had a really good point. Like there's sort of like this cultural aspect to what do we consider darkness? Like for some cultures and for some people, even within the Western culture, dark, like death isn't darkness. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Like what's dark is the pain and suffering humans inflict upon other humans, or like for some people, darkness is a plane crash. For instance, where like we live in Acadia National Park, right? There's like some remnants of a plane crash on a mountain here.
Yeah.
So we live, if you don't know, in Bar Harbor, Maine, and Bar Harbor, Maine has part of Acadia National Park in it, which is like a little baby park with little mini mountains on our island, and it takes up a lot of landmass, and therefore we can't build a lot of housing, but that's a subject for another day. And
not on this podcast.
And there's a plane that crashed a long, long time ago. Like, how long was it, babes? Like,
I have no idea.
70 years ago, maybe?
I don't know.
And
this is all you.
Bits of that plane crash are still there on the mountain. But most of the people who live here are very cognizant of not telling other people, like the tourists or the people from away, which is how we call tourists in Maine, where that crash is, because it's almost like we want to respect it as a place where people died. Matt Hockman knows it's 1970 that the plane. All right, so 50 years. I gave it a couple decades. Whatevs. And thanks, Matt. But, you know, like, people want to respect that. And if we didn't want to respect that and made it into like a tourist site where we were encouraging people to go, I guess that would be dark tourism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or taking parts of the plane and putting it on eBay.
That'd be terrible.
That'd be dark capitalism.
That would be very dark capitalism. So Susie says she was in Pompeii when they first started really digging out the amphitheater, and it was only like a quarter dug out. I can't even imagine. That must have been so cool.
It would have been all lava, right? Like hard digging?
Yeah, I imagine that'd be really hard digging. Fiona says as a gravesite, and Brittany says, Sean, do you want to read this? You're from the South.
They don't acknowledge slave graveyards in any ghost tours in Charleston.
But yet
they glorify the slave market. Charleston, I swear, is built on some nexus. There is such weird energy there growing up. Places you feel safe and places you know where bad things happen just by feeling.
Okay, Doug Marshall, who's the king of the skeptics, is totally going to think less of me right now. But Brittany, that's exactly how I feel when I'm in Charleston every single time. Like, I love that city so much, so much. But I always feel like, oh, this is great happiness. Oh my gosh, right over here is great despair. Oh my gosh, this is great happiness. And it's just so, it's like a very weird.
It's really hard to like take a walk in the nice residential neighborhoods of Charleston with Cary.
Yeah. Kind of true everywhere in the South with Cary. But yeah, like, I just referred to myself in the third person. But
you are the third person.
I am the third person. But it's like, it's just, there's so much going on right there. I don't know how to explain it, Brittany, but I think you did it a lot better than I could ever try. Fiona says in Victorian times, they used to have picnics in cemeteries. Fiona, I would like to tell you that growing up, my family had picnics in cemeteries. We would like clean off a gravestone and then we'd have a picnic, often on, I think, Memorial Day.
Was that like a familial gravestone or just some stranger?
No, it was like family. It was like great great grandparents and stuff. Yeah. And my mom would go, my nana would go, and we'd like clean off the grave and like clean all the weeds around, and then we'd have a picnic. Often on Mother's Day, actually.
What'd you have for a picnic?
Deviled eggs, which seems like a weird thing to have in a cemetery.
Depends on who's buried there, I guess.
Yeah, and my mom would always make me cucumber sandwiches, and I think she and my nana used to have ham sandwiches.
Like ham salad?
Yeah, like ham salad in like finger roll.
Yeah.
But I would get cucumber with mayonnaise between white bread.
Okay, then.
Uh-huh. There you go. Random fact you don't really want to know. So Doug said Pompeii and circumstance because he's a punster.
There he is.
Brittany said, LOL, that would be dark capitalism. That's would. And Susie said, no, digging. They were digging through the ash about Pompeii. And Fiona said, totally get that energy of bad things have happened here. There's a spot in Toronto I will walk blocks to avoid because of that.
Nice.
Piano sounds like me. Brittany says it really is, but this is why I honeymooned in Maine. So Charleston is creepy and energy and full of it, but sometimes it's nice to get away from that and go to a nice chill place like Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although it's funny and creepy here too.
I don't think it's as creepy.
No. Not like Charleston or New Orleans.
I mean, it's not necessarily that Charleston and New Orleans are creepy. It's just like, I don't know. It's like you can just feel the energy. And sometimes that energy is not really positive.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a little spooky.
I agree.
Yeah.
They're super high energy.
Really?
They are.
Do you think that?
I do.
Oh. Do you think Glen Mary Road in Bar Harbor is high energy?
No.
Damn it. Okay, so. Babe, what did you find when you were looking up, like, dark tourism and stuff? Did you find anything cool?
Well, I think cool is a matter of personal perspective.
Interesting. Did you find anything interesting?
Well, apparently a lot of people go to places that probably most all of us have heard of, like that. I'm not even gonna try to pronounce the word, but that forest in Maine where everybody, or in Japan,
like in
not
Maine.
In Maine.
Yeah. Let's go.
That forest in Japan where everybody commits suicide.
Oh yeah, I don't think I could go there.
No, why not?
I think I might be. I think either I'm too sensitive or my imagination is too great. That I'd have a really hard time there. Like, as a little kid, I couldn't even go, like, to science museums where there were, like, mummy exhibits.
Yeah.
Because I would panic.
No, I could see you doing that.
Yeah. Like, I try really hard to be brave, but inside, I'd be, like, feeling almost, like, suffocating, claustrophobic. And I kind of feel like that might happen to me. Because I would just feel so badly for everybody who was so sad.
You could probably go to another top dark tourism destination until Russia invaded Ukraine.
Okay.
I think they got like 200,000 visitors a year was Chernobyl.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Would you go there? Would you want to go there?
No. I have no desire to go there.
If someone was like, hey, Sean, you want to go there this weekend, would you go?
No.
Really?
Why would I want to go there?
Well, I would go anywhere.
I don't, me too. But not if it was like a flight to Chernobyl and back home, no, I'd pass.
Really?
Yeah, just for the sheer fear of like radiation.
But it's so long ago. Nothing,
what do I want to see there?
I don't know. You wouldn't just want to see it for the sake of seeing it.
No. What if I saw like a six-headed
language
bear or something? I didn't cuss.
I think you did.
I said no. What if I saw
a
six-headed bear or something?
That'd be kind of sad but cool. Right. Susie says Savannah, Georgia is a great place for dark tours. I've never gone to Savannah, but I would like to, Susie. Brittany says we had a church kirkin in our cemetery. Gotta love John's Island Presbyterian.
What's a kirkin?
Well, you're gonna have to ask. Brittany.
Brittany, what's a gherkin? Sounds like a pickle.
I don't know.
Like a gherkin. Hopefully I didn't offend you just now.
Johnny obviously was never a Presbyterian.
No, I was a Pentecostal and Southern Baptist type.
Really?
You know it.
Yeah. But you never, your family never ventured into anything else.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
There was no venturing because there was only one specific, very small part of my family that went to church at all.
And you guys like went to church and then you were nothing. And then you were like diehard and then you were nothing. And like that's how it went, right?
Very cyclical.
So interesting.
Yeah. It was definitely a disease.
A disease?
Well, like a, you know.
That sounds judgmental.
I lived it. I can judge it.
All right, I guess so.
But anyways, that's just another dark tourism destination. My mind.
All right. So Brittany says,
"Where if you jump all the way to the bottom to Doug Marshall's comment,
yes, Doug says pot smoking and pork luck.
He's pretty accurate
about what?
About my situation
as a child.
The whole jumping around thing, yeah." All right, go back.
Oh, no, 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 no. Brittany says the amount of things that happen in a small space creates energy that can't be measured. I think that's pretty true. And Fiona says, oops, the as a gravesite comment was about the plane crash.
Oh, I knew that.
And Coop says, what about visiting Gettysburg? And I think that's right. That's a really good point. Like, there's so many places that we don't necessarily think of as dark, in quotes, tourism. Yeah,
no, but it is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And yeah. That's
super popular.
So popular.
You know what? If we went to Gettysburg, you know what I would want to do with you? Since you're so fucking sensitive. I'd want to, like, sleep in the middle of the fields where the battles were at night, like, right under the stars.
I'd have a really hard time.
I know. That's why I want to do it.
No.
I just.
Because you hate me?
I wear a GoPro on my head.
I think you hate me.
Well, I've experienced you in other places like New Orleans.
So I think I'm a very normal human being, right? I don't think I'm very except weird.
For...
But, and I'm really good at repressing everything weird that happens to me because I just don't really want to think about it.
After she tells you about it.
Yeah, but like, we were at a place in Florida once, and it was like a bed and breakfast, and I went to bed. And this elaborate dream all about this man's life, about him coming from Maine to Florida, about, like, the mill burning down, like, what his wife's name was, where, like, they were buried, like, all this stuff. And I always wake up when I have these dreams, and they always happen more in the South for some reason. And then I tell Sean everything. And this one time we left the bed and breakfast, we walked across the street and I was like, oh, this is the gravestone. This is the guy. And it was this guy and he had moved from Bangor, Maine. He actually lived in the inn and he had created like this whole town, Apalachicola, I guess it was, wasn't it? Was that where it was?
Yeah.
And it was so weird, but like, to me, there's a sort of amount of dark tourism in it. If you're thinking, oh, like, this is where they died. This is where the fires were. Or this is where they, like,
killed native populations.
What?
It wasn't, like, intentional.
No.
You didn't set out to do that.
No, I'm basically a dark tourist without intention. Which is why I don't want to go to Gettysburg.
She does choose the lodging online.
I do.
So yeah. She knows what she's doing.
Oh, man.
Don't let her fool you.
No, I don't. I'm like, oh, look, so cute. They have a good breakfast. Let's go. High ratings. And then I'm like, death.
Man, I tell you, you got a lot of comments.
Okay, I'm going. Baby. Fiona says energy. Fiona says, are you the forest? Susie says, a lot of voodoo belief down in the Cajun area of the South.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what I'm hooking into. And Brittany says, oh, you sweet empath. I get it.
She is.
Brittany, I have a writer client of mine that, I'm helping with their book and they're a counselor and they said, oh, you have too much empathy. And I was like, oh no, is that really bad? Do I need to go to therapy?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And yes.
Doug said, do that you do so well. I don't know if that's how the tune goes.
I don't know either, but you did a great job, baby.
It's a song. And Fiona says, not right now, because the concrete shield is starting to fail, I think. And Coop says, I have a hard time visiting Salem. I do too, Coop. Too much energy and it's overwhelming. That's how I feel too. Did you have any relatives there? I had relatives there. Did you have relatives there? Okay. Coop, you have to tell me after. And John Bell says, Sean, would you like to read?
We went to this wicked terrifying hotel in Columbia called Hotel in Brujado, in Salto del Candama. Look it up. It was the only time in my life I actually felt my hair stand up.
I want to look it up.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool. And then Brittany says, Sean, you want to read that?
Scottish Heritage Festival via religion. Basically a huge pork smoking and potluck.
It sounds all in for Sean.
Does she mean pork smoking or pot smoking?
No, pork smoking.
But didn't it say pot the first time?
That was Doug, I think. All right. And then Doug said
it was, yeah,
pot
it was.
Smoking and pork luck. And then Katie says, hey, Katie. Katie says, Gettysburg has a totally different energy. It's not that dark. Oh, really? So I could go there.
Read the next one. Apparently you can.
Oh, Katie says, come to Gettysburg. I live 20 minutes away. That would be amazing because then we could hang out. Okay, so new trip plan. Fiona says, Sean?
In Scotland, Culloden is visited as one of the major places of loss during that last Scottish fight for independence.
Which is really true. And also, I think Outlander helped with that, too. And there's complex reasons for visiting, she says, like familial and nationalism and historical. And there's a residential school in southern Ontario that is used as a teaching school about colonialism. So it's being restored as a teaching space. And that's kind of cool, actually. Do you want to read Susie's book? Comment?
Climbed the Mountain Defiance across Fort Ticonderoga and put my fingers in the carved names on the stone from the Revolutionary War.
Aww.
I was moved to tears. Put my hand on the cannon and it was warm. If you stand really still, that's you weird. Can hear the battle. Same with Gettysburg and Valley Forge.
Whoa. The cannon was warm. Was it a cold day and the cannon was warm? Coop's not sure. And Susie says, I'm so sorry, Susie. My grandfather to the ninth degree was Samuel Wardwell, who was hanged as a witch in Salem. I think we're related. And Brittany says, that's how Fort Sumter is for me. Me too. Huh. And it was March when Susie was there and the cannons were warm.
Not a hot month. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's amazing though. Like the stories that come from these places. And you know, like I don't know anything really about psychic things and I don't really know anything about energy. I don't honestly.
Oh, come on. We watch Ghost Adventures every night.
I only know what Zach Baggins tells me.
You know all about that stuff, baby.
He once retweeted my tweet. But anyways, I don't really know about, and so did The Rock. Those are my only claims to fame, Zach Baggins and The Rock. But I don't really know about any of those things, and I haven't studied them, and they're not my science. But like, I think it's really intriguing to think that maybe the resonance of what happened in places gets held a bit in those places, you know?
Yeah, especially in the rocks and the trees.
Yeah, I love rocks and trees. Katie says to watch The Dead Files instead because Amy doesn't usually yell at the ghosts. I think we tried to watch that, Katie, but Sean gets really annoyed at Amy, the lady in that.
Why?
I don't remember. Oh, Susie says my writings say otherwise. Maybe about it's all what? Subconscious. About me knowing about energies and things.
Yeah.
I
wasn't going to call her out, but. Thanks,
Susie. Oh, Brittany says, I want to do a national travel trip based on colonization to follow the story and like to start on in St. Augustine, which would be really cool, actually.
Hell yeah, it would.
Yeah, like really cool.
Especially if you did it on foot with a backpack.
Sean and I were recently talking about traveling and our traveling goals and how we wanted to do a lot of things on foot.
Tour.
Yeah, you know.
Of all the dark places in Europe.
So like with dark tourism, there's a website specifically about dark tourism called dark-tourism.com. Very clever. And like, I guess because there's been so much negative talk about dark tourism, which seems kind of weird to say, negative dark. They're trying to like almost rehabilitate the term. Because they feel like there's been a lot of negative.
What's the new term, baby? Come on.
No, they're not making a new term, but they're like saying, no, we're not like voyeurs. It's not like slum tourism. It's not war tourism where you travel to current war zones. It's not dangerous tourism. And they're saying it's not even like ghost hunts. It's like beyond that. It's like not about disrespectful tourist behavior for them. It's about like enlightened engagement with contemporary history. And it's not always positive sides in a non-sensationalistic manner. So I think that's really interesting because, you know, how we started the podcast was just about like, how do you even define what dark tourism is? You know, are the people who do it the people who define it, or is it like somewhere like the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal and Twitter that get to define it? Like, how do you even necessarily come to a consensus about what that term even is, you know? And then once you get that, then you can talk about any potential ethical issues about it. But it's really kind of interesting to me.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
I got a couple.
Did I bore you? Did I just bore you? And you're like, listen, yeah.
I got a couple thins and a Wall Street Journal.
No! That makes me feel so bad.
It was really intelligent. That's why I couldn't follow. There was too many big words in there.
That wasn't big wordy. Oh God. All right. So Brittany says I like hot showers too much to do the whole national travel trip. Katie says I can relate
people
to that.
People got water heaters all over the place now.
Brittany, we'll just take we'll take a portable towel warmer and we'll just bring it with us everywhere. Plug it in.
Water in it?
No, but it'll be the nice hot like,
oh, so even if you take a cold shower, at least you got a warm towel, right?
Yes. All that matters is the warm towel afterwards.
No. The warm water is much more important than the warm towel.
You can deal with lukewarm water if you have a really warm towel.
It's either hot or cold. It's either hot or ice cold. And that's dark tourism right there. The ice cold shower. Holy crap.
It's the end of the world.
Oh,
you're
God.
So privileged. All right. Katie says, one of my series is based around the idea of cursed or hallowed ground holding energies. It's so cool. And Brittany says, double negatives cancel them out. And Coop says, do you want to read this one, Dan?
Ever been in an underground railroad house?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
There was a lot outside of Rochester, New York, near Lake Ontario, where I grew up. Interesting energy. Not necessarily dark, but lots of energy.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't see it as necessarily dark because a lot of the people traveling through there might have been full of hope.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah. But
even if that was their last stop and something bad happened, you know,
yeah.
At that point in time, they might have been full of hope.
But like, also so much fear, like fear of getting caught, fear of not making it, fear of like what happened to people you left behind, fear of what happened to the people who have gone ahead. Like there's so many, you know, I think that's part of it. And I think that's part of the worry about the term, even dark tourism, is just that the human experience isn't one polarity usually. Like, yeah, you die. Usually, most of us, many of us, depends, are sad. But not everybody even is sad when they die. So, like, but we like to simplify things, like we're bad AI, and make things on this continuum of good or bad, dark or light, happy or sad. And the truth is that in every moment that we're experiencing is so much more multifaceted than that. And even people in the worst moments can have those tiny bits of hope. And even people in their worst moments or their best moments can have tiny bits of anxiety. And it's just so simplistic to try to put one little baby adjective on something, especially an adjective as abstract as dark or light, or you know what I mean? Did I lose you again?
Me?
Because I tried not to use big words.
No, I was just thinking about how we're going to have to start charging people for this self-help talk.
Shut up. You're so mean to me.
I enjoyed it.
I don't think you did, baby.
My head was just like, ching.
I'm going to read Katie's comment.
Sure thing, Tony.
Are you calling me Tony Robbins? Because
yeah.
I'd have to be a lot taller and a lot more emphatic. I'd be like, you must do you. Like,
Katie,
I'd have to be yelling
Katie
the whole
Walker
time.
Katie said that's a really great definition. You don't necessarily go for the darkness, but to learn from it.
Yes.
And that's actually what a lot of people said.
Yeah.
In, like, the New York Times article I was reading about dark tourism.
Do you want to read a little bit of it?
No.
Okay.
But Katie summed it up really well.
Because she's Katie. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Doug says,
ghosts are only scary if you believe in them. I don't believe necessarily that's true. Because I don't know if I'd find every ghost scary.
Ooh.
Like, if I literally saw a ghost next to my bed in the middle of the night, I'd be like, what's up?
He would. He truly would.
You would. Never mind. I can't really get into it. But
I feel like
I'd have a conversation.
He would. He would. I feel like one of the reasons our house isn't terribly haunted, it's because Sean and I are mostly like, because
there's like no point.
We're like, whoa, that was weird. Whatevs. Whoa. Did that door just shut by itself? Whatevs.
We literally say that probably once a week. One of us will be to the other like, did that door just close? Oh.
What else?
Must have been a fucking spirit.
Or I'll be like, that's very strange. I wonder what happened with the house that made that happen. Like, one time I was in the bathroom and I came out of the shower and I was looking at the door and I watched the doorknob turn.
That's because I was peeping on you.
You were. You were at home.
I was getting out of there.
And I immediately thought that's what was happening. But like, I was like, and I texted him, like, babe, the doorknob just turned in the bathroom. Are you home? He's like, no. Which
no,
could have been a lie.
I wasn't home.
And I'm like, wow.
I definitely was. I know that instance.
And I'm like, wow, that's really strange. That's how chill we are in this house about weird things. Like, we're just like, oh, all right. Like, one time we had a podcast in the beginning of this podcast. Sean cut himself, but we didn't know it.
I didn't know it.
And there was blood all up the stairway because he went to check on Zane, the kiddo. And, like, the podcast ended. And I'm like, dude, there was blood all over this house. And we were both like, wow. Before we figured out what
it was.
The
next morning before I saw the
blood
on my arm.
We were like, oh, that's really weird. Whatever. Huh. I wonder what happened. Let's text about it. Oh, whatever. And then, like, the next morning, Sean's like, oh, I have a cut. So we figured it out. But, like, we never get to the panic stage of, like, oh.
Although that was a pretty, that one was going for a little bit.
I was like, wow, that's really cool, man. I wonder what that is. Ah. But we're very chill here. We're very chill.
Oh, yeah.
Coop says, yes, Brittany, can't go sad. Caitlin says, I'm late, but I'm here. Yay,
Caitlin!
And Susie said, I'm glad you're here, Caitlin. And Susie says, some of the darkest places for dark tourism is the concentration camps of the Holocaust and beaches of Normandy and Iwo Jima. And I can't even imagine going to any of those and being able to make it through, Susie,
well,
honestly.
Think about it this way. Aren't there specific memorials where people make literally like pilgrimages every year to recognize the dead?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's the difference?
I don't know.
I mean, it could be. That could be the reason people go there, right?
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like I couldn't, I don't know if I could do it, you know?
Oh, I'm not talking about you specifically. I just mean in general.
Yeah.
you can look at, there's two, this is a very specific two-sided coin. It's like the macabre or the macabre.
I don't know how to say that, yeah.
Or more of the spiritual side.
Yeah. There's like a, Sherman Alexie is incredibly problematic now, though he was my favorite poet for ever, like college onward. And but he has this amazing poem series where he takes, nobody cares about this, I'm so sorry, I'm gonna try to go through it really quickly, where he takes like these very formal poetic structures and talks about how he, as a Native American, visits Dachau. Shawnees, don't be a dick. And it's just like, he has these beautiful poems that, like, to me, somehow encapsulate the sadness and the darkness of that visitation. But also, like I was talking about before, kind of like beyond that single word of dark. And like one of those, I think like the second is, the second in the series of the poem is called History as the Home Movie. And it begins and ends with ash, though we insist on ignoring the shared fires in our past. We attempt to erase our names from the list that begins and ends with ash. And like the whole poem is just like that amazing resonating force. And I think that partially, I'm bringing this back, what the allure of dark tourism is what he captures in that poem, like that resonance, that like ache, that something, that energy or whatever you want to call it, that's bigger than our individual lives, but also about our individual lives and those losses and those stories that somehow, as Kathy Pelletier would say, make it through the chaos to be remembered. Did I lose you again? I lost you again, didn't I?
Oh, I was enraptured.
I think I lost you
again. No, I was just purely enraptured.
You're such a lying liar.
This is what I was thinking, honest to God. This is what I was thinking.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't think of myself as a stupid fellow. Maybe fairly intelligent. I was actually so smart that when I was a kid and I came across any poetry, I was like, okay, I can read this and try to make an opinion out of it. That's going to be way too much work. Like,
you're just lazy.
I'm just going to not even care about poetry because that's too much work. Mentally, I was lazy. Yeah.
Poetry's no work.
It was. Oh, my God. Yes, it is. Because you got to come up with your own viewpoint and your own opinion. Or else you're not going to stand out. I wanted to stand out.
Okay.
So I stood out by not caring about poetry.
That's not standing out. Is that what your whole point was?
What?
That's what you were thinking when I was talking about?
Well, not the whole time.
Oh, my God. How are we married? Okay, Caitlin says, I know it's not the Holocaust Museum, but I went to the Titanic Museum, and it was very emotional. I don't think I could go there.
I'd rather go to the Titanic Museum.
I don't think I could go there either.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I would rather go there because it's like not... It's not like, you know, like a freaking genocide situation.
Yeah.
It's just more like, oh, we didn't know we were going to freaking die. It was an accident, you know?
Yeah.
It's much kinder in its darkness.
Yeah, but there's still that fear and that horror. You know, Fitzy, this guy.
Oh, I don't think that deep, baby. I keep it at the surface.
Yeah, I think you have better walls than I do. Like, I know people who are now dead, but who lost their grandparents there. Like, that's amazing to me. Like, that, I can't imagine the panic and the terror of knowing that you're gonna die.
Yet you sleep beneath the window every night of a, that came from a house that was built for the, to be,
Okay.
Bride of somebody who died on the Titanic.
So there's a random window in our house, which is possibly why our house could potentially be haunted. In our bedroom. That came from the cloisters aspect of ancient Bar Harbor Manor estate summer home that allegedly was built for the bride of who died in the Titanic.
It was the bride-to-be, I'm right. pretty sure.
Yes, and she didn't make it to the house that was being built for her. I think I found some factual errors with that, too. Katie says the Holocaust Museum. It's definitely a powerful experience. My eighth grade class went. There are walls around certain exhibits, so you have the option of viewing some of the worst or not.
Oh, I'm sure it's powerful as hell.
Susie has given us a list of places where massive deaths have happened in Japan. And Brittany says, and you're not enlightened, psychic, or empathic, Miss Ma'am. You just embody the whole of balance. Thank you, Brittany.
You're a very kind Brittany Gardner.
I like Brittany.
Very kind.
Brittany's my current
She's poet. Pretty balanced, though, as a whole.
Katie's is not.
It's every once in a while she gets off kilter.
Read Katie's because it's funny.
Not all ghosts are scary. The one in my house mostly just takes me off.
Just like Sean and me. Yeah, Sean is the ghost in my house.
I'm the equivalent of the ghost in this house.
So true. Fiona says, after my mom died, there was an incident where I was going into the kitchen. I was in the doorway. The kettle turned itself on for about 10 seconds and then turned itself off. And I was like, hey, Mom, I see you.
That's awesome.
That's so sweet. Do you know what happened to me, Fiona? Doug Marshall, do not judge. Yesterday, I had been talking to Emmy, my daughter. And I had put the phone down and came back. And for some reason, my phone had decided, you know, like it felt like an automated text thing where it just kept putting like the middle word over and over and over again. And it was like, hey, baby girl, I love you so much. And I miss you. And I miss you. And I love you. And I miss you. I want you to know how proud I am of you. And I miss you and your baby girl, too. I'm so proud of you. I love you all my heart, Nana. And
I'm like, I sent that text to you.
It wasn't that
you. And Nana was an autocorrect thing. You know how you hit send before you get to actually read it all?
And he cracked me up because I was like, and I like just sent it to Emily. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at what just happened on my phone. Because my mom is the only person who ever writes, I love you, whoever wrote, like, I love you with all my heart. And she wrote it on everything. So I think those little moments are interesting.
You didn't tell me about that.
I just don't tell you about everything, honestly.
Oh, it's apparent. I thought we had. I'm gonna have to reevaluate what I tell you now.
No, you hardly tell me everything. Sayer says hi, bud. And Fiona says, I would not see that as tourism. I'd see it as a memorial, i.e., a concentration camps, etc. You go to honor and not to gawk. And I would hope that's right.
I would hope so too.
Katie says, Fiona, that's such a nice sign. And Brittany says, please tell, but I don't know what it's about
me
anymore.
Neither.
And Fiona says, I do, Ari, the poetry. Thank you. And
no,
Susie.
She was siding with me.
Nuh-uh.
She's like, don't put the brain power into that worthless.
No, she was not. If you knew her, you know how wrong you are. And Susie says the Day of the Dead is a big celebration in Mexico.
Oh, that's fun, too.
Susie, one of my best friends who died, and all my best friends seem to die, his name was Don Radovich. And
all my best friends seem to die. That's a book title for you, folks, right there. All my best friends, by John Green. All my best friends seem to die.
Turtles all the way down, looking for Alaska. All my best friends seem to die. I'm actually writing that down. He was fascinated by the Day of the Dead. And when he died, his wife, they had like kind of a vaguely normal wake, but then they had a special Day of the Dead wake for him because he loved it so much. And Fiona says that may be a better term, a visitation rather than dark tourism. And
Hell
then
yeah.
Brittany says that was beautifully interpreted and put back to full point. Thank you, Brittany.
That must have been one of your diatribes.
Probably my poetry one. And Katie says, I get that. Poetry used to drive me crazy. So Katie's with you, Johnny. You want to read that one?
I could probably do the Titanic Museum because it's not at the actual site.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And Caitlin says, you get a ticket with the name of a real person who was on the Titanic. And at the end of the tour, you know if your person lived or died. Oh, my God.
And that's your fate right there. How many people have died after they walked out of the Titanic Museum?
That'd be a great X-Files episode.
50% of the visitors.
Yeah.
Or way more, because it was way more than 50% that died on the Titanic.
Coop says, the museum in England, you learn all of the stupid mistakes that were made, and it could have been prevented, and it made my insides shake. See, that's how I'd be too, Coop. Susie says, Mr. Thayer was one of my residents in the nursing home I worked on. I worked at on MDI, and he survived the voyage of the Titanic, but his high school BFF didn't. The trip was our high school graduation gift, and Mr. Thayer wrote a book about his experience. Do you know the name of it? I'd love to read that, Susie.
Yeah, she would.
Fiona says, as a poet, I'm signing with my favorite fellow, with my fellow poet, Carrie. Thank you, Fiona. And Katie says, that's the same as the Holocaust Museum. You get papers for a real person.
See, that kind of stuff right there, to me, is what makes it, like, fall under the dark tourism definition.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, that kind of twist makes it twisted to me. Mm-hmm. You're not there just to honor the dead as a whole.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, now you're like this person. It's, you know. You don't agree with me?
No, I'm thinking...
You'd rather connect with, like, one person rather than just be there as a rando, like, connecting with everybody? All the victims?
There's, like, I feel like I'm going to lose you again, but there's, like, the in that same Sherman Alexie poem, there's, like, that gawking question, like, that,
did you see Garfield comics this weekend?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
You lost me. Go ahead, I didn't get it. Alexi.
Okay.
So,
I think it's the third part of that poem. Like, there's this.
I remember that. Go ahead.
You'd be such a pooper duper. And it goes like, because again, he's there visiting with like his German hosts and his wife at the time. And it's like, why are we here? What have we come to see? What do we need to find behind the doors? Are we searching for an apology, you know, from the ghosts of unrepentant Nazis?
Right.
We pay the entrance fee at the front door, but why are we here? What have we come to see? And, like, there's that echo of, like...
So what Sherman's saying is that some people feel so much empathy that they take on a certain guilt aspect for things that they had no involvement in.
Yeah, like, and, like...
But they feel apologetic to that segment of humanity that died or was a victim.
Yeah.
Like they must apologize on behalf of all of humanity or just themselves.
Or even just like the questioning, like, why do we go to this place? What are we trying to see? What is the connection that we're trying to make with these tragedies of the past? And if you think about museums and memorial sites, like, I think it would be really fascinating to, like, kind of break them apart and see in a really boring data sense, like, how many of these places and museums and memorials are sites of triumph and glory and happiness versus sites of genocide or despair or disaster.
Oh, right.
And I think that...
Because even some places of massive death could be sites of triumph, like Normandy.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And like, and how all of that like interconnects. And as people visiting those places, what is it that pulls us to them? And what is it that, you know, we are trying to see.
It's hope, baby. Is this hope?
Is it?
Yeah.
Or is it understanding? Or it's is it looking for a bigger
this world of ours?
Is it looking for a bigger understanding? Like, there's so many things. Fiona says, I think it's supposed to make it tangible. Coop says, I agree. Fiona says, not 6 million, but think about this one person, and that humanizes it. And Katie says, I think it's supposed to connect you empathically, to put you in the moment, to never forget, because now you're a part of the story.
Yeah, I think that's a good kind of a good overall definition.
Yeah. Fiona says, and also as you leave that type of place or memorial or museum, you're thinking, what does this ask of me?
Normally when I'm leaving a place like that, I'm like, are there any street food vendors
around here? He's always hungry. He's just like, I'm hungry. Do you want to go get a beer or food or something? Is there a hot dog anywhere?
Yeah.
Susie says, Mr. Thayer only had 100 printed and gave them to his family. Ah, oh, about the book. I was loaned a copy. If there are Thayers on MDI, they might have a copy or check with the Jessup Library. I will.
Yeah.
And Fiona asked if you can post, I can post the name of the Sherman poem. I will in a second. And Brittany says, you do this while I go find the name of the poem.
So is there a forgotten dark history for the places we get pulled to?
Oh!
Yeah, that's a whole nother friggin' podcast. But in brief, we were just talking about that today.
Yeah.
Sort of, right?
Yeah, we were kind of doing that.
We were talking about how you're attracted to certain places that, like, even genetically, you can't attach yourself to, right?
Right.
But you still feel this, like, calling?
Yeah, like a calling.
Comfort, or...
There's words in German for that, but not in English. Yeah, like, I can't remember the word for German, but I used to know it. But it's like a homesickness for a place that you've never actually been to.
Yeah. And that may not necessarily be a dark history. But it sure could be.
It could be.
And I think that goes, you know, right in that same vein of connection that can't be explained. How about that?
Brittany feels that for Appalachia, and I feel that for...
Carrie also feels that for Appalachia.
Which means Brittany and I were probably hanging out in a past life. But
Carrie's like Cajun.
I am secretly Cajun.
Cajun.
I can make a good sweet tea. Oh, Fiona has the word, and I'm going to mess it up, but it's Hyraeth.
What's that word?
It's a Welsh word, and it's like for homesickness
or
a longing for somewhere you have never been.
Nice.
Nicely done.
You guys help us out so much.
They're so smart. Ridiculous.
It's 8:02, baby.
Oh no, we have to end it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We gotta go to bed and relive some past lives.
Or look at the ghosts. Thank you everybody for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much.
Fiona, I hope you saw my point.
We didn't talk that much about dark tourism, but that's okay.
That's all right. That's how it happens in our podcast.
That's right.
I tried to define it.
Did a great job of defining it, I think.
I feel like that was a positive. Before we go, Fiona, it's Inside Dachau by Sherman Alexie. And if you lose that, just send me a message on Facebook and I will. Oh, you got it.
She says
she got the title. Yay. Sayer says bye bye, Sayer. And thank you all for hanging out with us on this random Friday night.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah, I'm going to try to
have
find...
Have a great day, Sayer. It's probably like 5 in the morning.
It's very early in India. And
thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday. Live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.